right, what is going on, everybody? That was a long intro.
It's a smidge too long. Yeah.
Are we gonna change it?
Yeah. I don't think we need it to be that long.
All right. Well, if anyone's watching episode one and you have any recommendations on a good podcast intro, send it over our way. I guess let's introduce ourselves because this is episode one. Welcome to episode one of Untitled Project. You're going to probably know what the title is because once we post it, you'll know what the name of it is before past us. So you win and we lose. So I guess I will let the beautiful person to the right of me introduce both of us. Hello, beautiful person to the right.
Hello, I am beautiful person to the right. My name is Molly McDonald, and the handsome man speaking to you earlier was Danny Ironman. We are a couple from New Jersey that are outdoor enthusiasts. We love everything that has to do with the outdoors. Started off as hiking and really quickly snowballed into an obsessive thru-hiking career. So, that is just a little bit about us. You'll learn more as we keep going along and the topics that we talk about. But yeah. Those are the things you need to know for this podcast.
Yeah, we did the Appalachian Trail. We thru-hiked that in 2020, and we wanted to document that. So we decided to make an Instagram account called Let's Trek Together. Link in the description below if you want to go follow us. But we just loved taking pictures and just really like daily documentation of that hike. And then we moved to Korea right after doing that. And we felt really disconnected to the outdoor community and the hiking community in general. So we started a podcast while we were in Korea, and we interviewed other thru hikers about their different opinions, and we called it Trail Talks. And we're kind of doing that in this podcast. I think we're going to do the same type of trail talks that we did in the past, but we also want to expand our horizon a little bit more and venture more into different topics in the outdoor community in general and not just the hiking community. So whatever this project is called, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. And you're not only getting one episode of us a week, we're going to be aiming for two. So like Danny was saying, with the first episode, it's going to be very much like Trail Talks. We might be interviewing someone. It's very discussion based. And then the second one's going to be a little more lighthearted and maybe talk about some current events that are going on within the outdoor community and stories of what's going on in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess as the episodes go on, you'll know what's happening, but our first episode, we are going to be talking about a pretty heavy topic, I think. I think it's going to be deep diving into just how we're feeling, maybe how other thru-hikers feel at the end of their trail, whatever trail you end up doing. But most recently, this year in 2022, we completed a thru-hike of the Pacific Crest Trail, which was our second big thru-hike. And we're recording this, I think, what is today, October 30th?
Yes.
So yeah, the day before Halloween, we finished the PCT the first week of September. So we've been home for almost 2 months now, yeah. And we've kind of gone dark on all of our social medias. So I guess we'll catch you up to speed on what we've been doing for those the past 2 months, and then kind of get into the topic of today, which, I mean, you'll know it from the title, but let's start with, what have we done for the past 2 months, Molly?
Well, there's been a couple things. I think the first thing that we did when we got home is we went out and did some trail magic for Southbound Appalachian Trail through hikers. And that was really cool because we got to connect with one of my friends from high school who did a NOBO through hike of the AT this year. So we met with him, hung out at the Delaware Water Gap, gave all of our feast of food to, I think, what, like four or five thru hikers?
Yeah.
It was a great time. And I know that it can be hard for Sobos. Like, they don't get as much trail magic. So I really hope that we like made an impact and made their day.
Here's a question. When we went out and bought like $100 worth of food.
Yeah.
How many hikers did you think were going to show up to that trailhead?
I was hopeful. I thought 10 because I had posted on a Facebook group within the community asking where people were, and it seemed like there was a bubble, but it's hard to catch the thru-hikers at the right time.
What trail magic did you bring them?
What did we bring them? I made slutty
Oh,
brownies.
yeah.
I know baked goods were always something that I craved. We tried to think about it as like, what were things that you normally did not get that you would love to have if you showed up at a trailhead? And slutty brownies was definitely something that I was making and like really hoping for. What did you bring?
I'm a full-on slut for slutty brownies, dude. Like, if someone handed me slutty brownies, I would be just a complete
You
slut.
do it.
I'd be a complete slut for them. 100%.
What do you want from me? I'll take this whole tray. What do you want?
100. I'll do anything. I'll sell my body to science. To science, only to science. Well, okay. I brought since we're from Jersey, we have Taylor ham, egg and cheese, which if you're from any other part of the United States, you probably don't know what that is. Maybe you do. But it's like Taylor ham is bacon, a crossover between bacon and ham. Deli ham.
Really thick pieces of ham
Thick.
that are super salty, thick.
Thick.
We're talking like thick, juicy,
Chunky.
chunky,
Is that a good description word for Taylor ham?
chunk. I would hope my Taylor ham isn't chunky. I don't know if that would be good or
Yeah,
not.
probably not. Okay, well, so anyways, I wanted to do a Jersey classic and serve up Taylor ham, egg and cheese on bagels for the hikers. And come on, how can you pass up a breakfast sandwich on your morning hike? Like, you can't do it. And so I bought, I think, enough ingredients for about 30 hikers. And I'm still eating the bagels. They're in the freezer.
Oh, I was gonna say, have they not gone moldy
I mean,
yet?
I gave them to children in need that need it.
Wow, you're such a good
I
soul.
try.
Yeah. It's okay. He ate them too, and they were great. So
Yeah, they were
we
delicious.
trail post trail.
So we did trail magic. Molly, do you want to talk about your solo hike of the Potomac
Yeah.
Trail?
So I have been wanting to do a backpacking trip on my own for a very long time, but I've just been kind of a pansy and not wanted to do it by myself. And so I finally said, you know what, rip off this band-aid, you need to go do it. And I chose to do a thru hike of the Batona Trail, which is a trail in South Jersey in the Pine Barrens. So it's completely flat. There was one hill. It was probably about 75 feet. So it was just flat. Walking through the Pine Barrens, enjoying nature, I somehow chose the hottest weekend in September to do it. So it was pretty unbearable during the day in some parts because it is just flat and exposed, but it was a lot of fun.
Nice. No ticks, right?
Yes, no, I got bit by about 60 ticks. And don't worry to the people listening, I went to the doctor, I got tested for Lyme, came back negative. I'm taking my p 1 month post test currently. I'm just waiting for the results. So hopefully I'm tick illness free because that would not be good. My
Six.
health insurance runs out.
Ooh. Yeah, we
Yeah,
don't
so
talk about that.
we don't need to talk about that.
6 months on the West Coast, living in the woods almost every single day. No ticks.
No ticks.
You come home to Jersey for one day,
One day.
and you're just tick galore.
Yeah, ticklicious, if you want to say.
Ooh. All right, brand that. Make sure you patent that. Ticklicious.
Ticklicious. Yep, that's what that should be my new trail name.
I
Ticklicious.
like that. All right. Molly did the Batona Trail and she crushed it. We did trail magic for some A-tiers. We took a vacation up to Maine. We were able to go up with my mom and just explore Western Maine and the Whites in New Hampshire. We were able to bring her up Mount Washington, and we drove up. We didn't hike up. So, to all those salty hikers, we're sorry.
We've already climbed it. We'll climb it again.
Yeah. Hey.
The drive, it's totally worth doing. It is really expensive. I wasn't expecting to pay as much to like drive up the mountain.
Full on rude.
But
It's
yeah.
rude. Like, where are those $70 going to? Is it the road?
I hope.
Does the road cost that much money?
I mean, that road's pretty intense.
Yo, you think they're pocketing it?
I'd like to say.
Do you think we could get those jobs?
I don't think I want that job.
I don't want that job either. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm sorry. You go.
We also got to visit some trail towns. Like, we went up to Rangeley, Maine, which was a stop that we had on the AT. It was a stop where our Tramley member, Corey, puked his guts out on the sidewalk. So that was fun memories to relive or reminisce about. Wait.
You couldn't talk about the beautiful Lake Moosuc-Megunctic or the fall leaves or anything. You had to talk about vomit.
Yes. Come on, I've got the mind of a thru hiker. Do you really think I'm thinking about that? I'm thinking about
just poop and ramen, right?
Yeah, not in that order, but I think
I was trying to think of a scenario where poop and ramen did go in that order, and honestly, that sounds like about 10 a.m. in the morning.
This is my pre-lunch poop
and then ramen.
But yeah, you know what?
Dry ramen.
What about
it? It's better. It's superior.
I'm not going to say it's superior, but sometimes I did prefer to eat it that way. It made life really easy when we were trying to do as much as possible so you could like eat lunch and walk at the same time. But like if I had one of those fancy ramens that would be in the stores from occasion, like from time to time, I did not want to eat that. I paid good money for fancy ramen. Mm. I'm going to cook it. So if I had top ramen, absolutely. Crunchy. Crunch away on it. But if I had that yummy, yummy gin ramen, not. I'm not wasting
it's
that.
Okay to be wrong.
Rude.
So yeah, we were up in Maine. And honestly, the past 2 months have just been reintegrating back into normal life and working a job and...
What job are you working?
Substituting in a public school.
Dealing with gremlins every day.
Gremlins. Full on gremlins. Demons. Not gremlins. Like many Lucifers all in the same classroom.
Lucifer.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. What?
But I'm just kidding. I love teaching.
Help. to all the teachers out there, you're amazing and you're better than us.
Yeah, good for you for going into that full time. I don't know if I could anymore.
I mean, never say never, but...
Thank you, Justin Bieber.
That is true. But so... That is also young Jaden Smith. Yeah. That is cute little Jaden Smith before he...
Yeah. Bigger than me and taller than me.
Yeah.
Right?
If anyone wants to hear Molly do the entire rap of Never Say Never in that voice, please drop it down in the comments. We will definitely include that in episode 2.
We'll have to save it for Patreon.
Oh, Patreon. Ooh, money.
But maybe. If you really want to hear me do the Jaden Smith rap and you're that adamant about it, we'll make a Patreon.
If you also want to see Molly's tick legs, like tick-filled legs... We're starting an OnlyFans as well.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that. Thanks for reminding me.
But I guess let's like just jump right into the main topic of today, which is kind of just reflecting on post-trail life and really, I guess, going more in depth of like when trail life is over, what's next? Like what happens and how we cope with it mentally, emotionally, all those different things. We talked about this yesterday. We went and got coffee and we like just brainstormed a bunch of these ideas. And I'm so excited to be talking about this because I just feel like it doesn't get talked about enough. Like, I think everyone knows that there's post-trail depression and I think everyone feels it, but why do we feel it? And like, how can we cope with it? And what are some strategies that allow us to maybe not only reminisce about trail for the entire winter season? So let's just jump into it.
Yeah, I just want to add to that real quick. I think, like, within the umbrella term of post-trail depression and stuff, I think there's a lot of talk of, like, oh, trail is so great. It's the only thing that makes me happy. I miss it so much. Woe is me. I'm sad. Which, like, yes, all valid. I feel that too. But I don't think people talk enough about how to actually deal with it without just resorting back to the trail community. Because I think there's ways to kind of, like, move on in a sense and integrate back into normal life without that being a negative thing. Because I think we always kind of talk about it in a negative connotation of, like, the real world and how scary and bad it is. So why not just live in the woods? So I think it's important to really talk about, like, it's okay to go back to normal life.
Also, a disclaimer, we are not experts in anything. We are not psychologists. We are not even smart. We are just people that are experiencing the same emotions that I think a lot of other hikers are. And maybe this can be a podcast or something to listen to be able to relate and help cope with. So let's jump right into it. The first question I have for you is, okay, why do through hikers feel the urge to get right back on trail after the first trail?
So I think it depends on why people go to do this hike in the first place. But for a lot of people, it's like, I'm making a huge change in my life, you know, quitting my job, leaving everything I know behind to go and do this. So I feel like it's a really big life shift. And so when you finish something like that, like, okay, what do I do next? A lot of people come off trail, not everybody, but a lot of people come off trail and don't want to go back to regular life or the job they were working in. And so I know a lot of people, like, think about doing seasonal work because they're like, oh, if I do a seasonal job, you know, I can work for the winter and then hop right back on the next trail with just enough money to do it. And it becomes this really vicious cycle. So that, and I think, like, through hiking is such a big dopamine hit for the entirety of it. It is so exhilarating. I mean, you're exercising all day. You're taking in beautiful views. Like, there's all this adrenaline and this excitement that goes with it that, like, you just want to recreate that because it's magical and it's amazing and you're chasing that high. So I think those are the two main reasons, at least I've felt, like, why people get back out on trail.
I think, too, like, it's such a fairy tale adventure. In the sense of, like, the community is so tight knit and the experience is so, like you were saying, just so overwhelming to all the senses that there's not a way to replicate it if you're really into the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And the only way to replicate it is to do another trail and to, like, experience it again. Or at least that's how people feel. Like, that's what the only solution is, to being able to feel this feeling again.
Yeah. Do you think it's also because of, like you said, the community is so tight knit. So going back into a place where the majority of people around you, if not literally everyone around you, has no idea what it's like to do a through hike. So do you think, like, people feel lonely?
Yeah. Oh, completely isolated. I can't even imagine the fact that I have you to be able to go home with and, like, reflect on this experience is so, like, if I didn't have you, it would be so much harder to be able to process the emotions that I have felt getting off the trail. And so I feel like if you really do get off the trail and you kind of isolate yourself from that experience, that must be the loneliest feeling in the world.
Yeah, I would understand. I mean, I had you and I was still itching to get back out for the second trail. So I can't imagine not having anybody and then just, like, not wanting to get back to that world again. It's like, oh, it's a place where I can finally be myself, like me. Because I feel like with through hiking, it really does, like, tear down all the walls and the walls you have up about yourself and everything. You become, like, a very raw, unfiltered version of yourself. And so, like, that's a really beautiful thing. And it's hard because, like, you want to bring that into your own life, but you feel like the only way you can do that sometimes is by being out in the middle of the woods and abandoning your government name.
It's the same topic, but I'm going to switch to a different idea. I think too that social media has really like put through hiking, and I guess any niche, but through hiking in particular, on a pedestal. And there's like levels to through hiking. And from what I've seen, I see a lot of people that maybe don't want to commit 6 months to the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail or the CDT. And they want to do a smaller trail, whether that's like the Long Trail or, I don't know, the Arizona Trail, the Colorado Trail. And once they get just a taste of that through hiking experience, the next year they're already planning their big hike, the AT, the PCT, the CDT. And social media in general, there's so much to digest there. So like, you can go down a rabbit hole of watching all the ATers like going over Mount Washington and summiting Katahdin and seeing all those like quote unquote heroic moments of the through hiking experience. And then with just one click, you can go see someone on the PCT going up and over Mount Whitney and like going through Washington. And I feel like there's this need to conquer, especially once you do your first big long trail of the three, the CDT, the AT, and the PCT, there is this huge desire. And I'm going to say probably at least half the hikers want to do all three. And yeah. I don't know if it's they actually want to do it or they feel pressured into doing it. It could be a little bit of both. But that's also a reason I think people have this urge to just jump right back out on trail and do it again. I think it's definitely a big social media pressure or just a pressure from their own community through the internet world.
Yeah, that's really, I wasn't thinking about it that way. I feel like I rarely met somebody who wasn't talking about their next through hike while on their first through hike. I mean, we did the same thing. We were on the Appalachian Trail and like, I don't know, New York being like, all right, CDT 2021, like we're just going to go for it. And yeah, like I'm trying to think, I feel like with the Appalachian Trail, there are more people that just do that one and they're done than maybe with the other two. I feel like there's a lot because there's this culture that surrounds the AT with like Boy Scouts in particular and things like that, and how old the trail is. It's like this iconic once in a lifetime thing that you go and do. And I feel like a lot of people that were on the AT were like, nope, okay, this is what I wanted and I'm happy and I'm ready to go back to my next job after this. But I don't feel like that's the same pull with the PCT and the CD. Maybe I'm wrong. That was just my experience, but that's kind of how I felt.
No, I think I'm going to disagree with you on that, because when we were on the PCT, there were a lot of PCTers that were only PCTers. Like they had a very elitist idea that the other trails are just not meant for them, that the PCT is the pinnacle of everything and everything else sucks, kind of.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We did get a lot of like that.
There's a huge part of the community that doesn't feel that way. Like that's not majority. Majority really do want to experience all of it. And if you really do go down that rabbit hole of through hiking, you could spend the next 30, 40 years of your life, every single season, hiking a different trail in the United States.
Yeah. So there's so
it's
you don't dangerous. It's like opening Pandora's box. You take one step on trail and you're like, oh, well, now I know what I'm doing with every vacation for the rest of my life.
Yep, exactly. But I guess this bleeds into the next idea. Like how do you become more lost? Because we've now done two trails and I definitely feel like our experience from the first one and the second one are wildly different. And everyone says that, but I don't think you think about it like that in the moment. I think whether or not you want to, you're chasing the high of the first trail. But my question is, how do you become more lost in the more trails that you do? Or why do you become more lost?
Well, I think the farther, and it's kind of like anything, like the farther and farther you go down a rabbit hole of any idea or any kind of hobby, like it does tend to become very obsessive. And I definitely felt like that, at least at the beginning of the PCT, maybe not towards the end of it for myself personally, but you become so obsessed with like, oh, there's this, oh, the Arizona Trail, oh, the Cohos, oh, the CDT, the Colorado Trail, like there's so many. And when you're in the moment of those like highs, when you're on trail, it's like, why would I want to do anything else with my time? Yeah. This is like the most magical and most fulfilling thing that I could be doing. Nothing else matters. This is what I want to do. And then you get those days where like everything sucks and you're just like, ah, I'm done.
Yep.
No more. It's like 12 straight days of rain. And you're like, I never want to walk again in my life. But I don't know. I feel like most of the time the good moments really outweigh the bad in that sense. Like everything goes away the minute you have some like nice moment. You're like, oh, no, this is it. I kind of went off topic.
No. That was great. I want to include, like, I think there's a big echo chamber in the hiking community too. Like, you're kind of like, whether or not it's good habits, bad habits, they're very reinforced on trail because you're really only, you know, communicating with other people that are doing the same exact thing you're doing.
Yeah.
And I, from my experience, you tend to get more lost because these people are reinforcing all of these habits that you're doing, and you just don't even like you almost like demonize society in a way. Mm-hmm. Like kind of say like, oh, it's so much better to be out here. Everything sucks back in the real world.
Yeah.
And the more and more and more trails you do, the more that echo chamber gets louder in not mm-hmm. just the community, but in your head too. And so that's, at least from my perspective, that's what happened.
Yeah, you almost like lose touch with reality of the, in a sense, like the reality of what your normal like societal life is. You really start to lose touch with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on how you do your through hike. Like if you're skipping towns and really just staying out there the whole time, like it, you really just like that becomes your reality. And so why would you want to be doing anything else? It can be hard. It's hard because it is such a wonderful community of people.
Yeah. I get it.
Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
No, just something I wanted to touch on.
I'm trying to think how you become more lost. Do you think there are, like, I mean, always there's a spectrum when it comes to anything like this of people and what they're thinking. Do you think it's possible to not get lost within the through hiking world if you do so many trails, like, or at least more than one or two?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say I'm very impressed by the people that can do, like, when you talk to them and they say that they've triple crowning, meaning doing the three big trails, they've done all three like three times.
Yeah. So
they're on like trail number 10. Like they've been doing this for like a decade, and I can't tell if they're just so lost in that world that like that's their life, or that they've somehow found a healthy way to incorporate through hiking into a lifestyle. I don't know. I'm not here to judge. I'm just curious by them. They're just very interesting people. Some of them are very like lost in the community. And some of them are very just normal worldly people. And it's interesting to see someone that's been doing it for over a decade.
Yeah. Maybe we should try and talk to somebody like that.
Maybe.
Little foreshadowing maybe to a future episode.
Yeah, maybe. Do you want to jump into the next topic?
Yeah, so when you do these trails and then you get off and you try and come back to normal life, a lot of times it feels, at least in our experience, like it feels like everything is just a little more boring than it used to be.
Right.
So it feels like you have this question of like, why isn't anything exciting anymore?
That sounds so angsty.
It's not a phase, Mom.
That sounds so metal, dude. Like, it's so emo.
But it is. But, like, I definitely have those thoughts.
Like, right. I guess anything feeling not exciting is pretty dramatic. But, like, why does everyday life not feel as fulfilling? Maybe that's the right way to say that.
Yeah, that might be a better way to put it.
I don't know. I know from now, this is the second time getting off a big trail and having to reintegrate back into the normal world. But it doesn't feel exciting because, like you were saying, the adventure was such a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And the reason people keep running back to the trail is because, like, life doesn't give you that dopamine hit constantly. It doesn't mm-hmm. at all. Like, you're getting it a few times a day. And the things that you do in your normal life, like, you really have to, you're not going to enjoy every single thing that you're doing every waking moment. Like, I mean, kudos to you if you, like, absolutely love your job, but I assume most people don't. And so right there, that's not a dopamine hit. And that's half of your day right there. So things don't feel as exciting because what used to be exciting, like reading a new book or picking up a new instrument or going out to a restaurant with your friends, I mean, it's not climbing a 14,000 foot peak. And mm-hmm. so I think it's really like scaling down like normal life to trail life. They're not the same and they shouldn't be treated the same way.
Yeah. Do you think you could almost say it's like the idea of like yin and yang of like, you need to have the bad to appreciate the good. And like, yes, there are bad moments on trail, but I think for like overall, the trail is so much like positive interactions, positive experiences that you then go back to normal life and you don't even know there's no balance. And so now it's just like, everything's kind of out of balance and out of whack.
Yeah. Well, yes. But I think an important thing to keep in mind is like this experience that you're having post trail, like the months afterwards where you're really having to like reintegrate and cope with your emotions. This is a part of the trail. Like,
yeah.
2 months after the PCT, this is still a part of the PCT experience. Post trail mm-hmm. is a part of that experience. And to throw it away and just say like, oh, my PCT journey is over. Like, I miss those days. Like, you're still in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just not on the Pacific Crest Trail anymore.
You can never escape.
Never. Just a lot of zeros.
Yeah, one long extended zero.
But why do you think that like life, going back to life, is not as exciting as trail life was?
It's just, well, I think about it. There's a lot of different avenues you can kind of take that in. I think one of them comes from like when you're on trail, you have so much freedom to kind of like to let loose. It's a lot of time. It's for a lot of people where they're kind of like cutting loose for the first time in a really long time. And so there's this freedom of like, do whatever you want, whenever you want. It doesn't matter. Like, life is amazing. Just be a free hippie in the woods. And so I mean, that's kind of like what it feels like. Yeah. And so you go back into normal life and you're like, oh, I can't just sit on this rock in the middle of the woods for 2 hours if I want to. I have to go do my job. I can't go hike whenever I want. I can't just have a long conversation. I have to get back to work. And so like within the realm of like, why isn't anything exciting anymore? It's like you have responsibilities again in a different light. Like, yes, there are responsibilities with everything, but it feels like you've lost your freedom. And so in that sense, like, it kind of gets like depressing. Like, it can for a lot of people, like, you kind of get depressed. You're like, I can't live the way I did for 6 months. And maybe like that is the way you want to live. And so nothing's exciting because nothing's on your time the way it was before.
Yeah. I was going to bleed into that. We were talking about it yesterday. I didn't have to plan what I was really eating for like 5 or 6 days out of the week.
Yeah.
And so giving that breathing room that I'm not stressed always running to the grocery store or like picking up garbage food, eating that. Like, when I got that one day of being able to choose what I wanted in a trail town, it was so exciting because I had so much time to think about it. And like, when you integrate back into normal life, like, you you have so many responsibilities that you forget like normal chores.
Yeah.
Take a while. Doing a lot of those things take time and it takes the day. Mm-hmm. And when all you had to do was like laundry, shower, and picking up your food, like it's a pretty easy life, even if it feels stressful in the moment.
Yeah. You know, what's so funny about it is like, I feel like on trail, like the things you just said to the average person are super mundane. Like, you know, like you're just walking. Like that's really all you're doing. Like, yeah, there's other things, but like for the majority, if you wanted to boil it down into its simplest terms, you're walking.
Yeah.
But everything is exciting. Like, oh my gosh, look at that tree. Like, look at that bird. Like, oh, what is that? Like, there's so many little things that people in normal life are just not even probably picking up on or aware of. And so it's funny because we really did find such excitement in a lot of mundane things. And now you're back in normal life. And things that are quote unquote mundane, you're not excited by anymore.
Yeah. From a physical standpoint, just from like a health standpoint, mm-hmm. like you're outside for 13 hours a day. You're soaking in all of that sun. Yeah. You're just like enjoying the crap out of yourself. Your body loves that. Like almost too much.
Maybe your body. I'm not, oh. I'm getting burned by that sun more than soaking it up, I would say.
Yeah. Hey, we'll drop pictures on our OnlyFans of Molly's burnt body. So.
My heat rash.
but yeah, so you're getting a crap ton of sun. You're chugging so much water because you're always thirsty. And so for like 50% of the day, like you're on top of your health aside from maybe the nutrition standpoint. But yeah. But like your body feels good and you're exercising all day. So you go back to sedentary life where you're just like kind of sitting around for 80% of the day. And mm-hmm. you're probably neglecting water as I am right now. I'm drinking sparkling water. I guess that is water, right?
I'm having an energy drink. I don't think this is... Stay hydrated, kids.
Stay hydrated. And you're not going out in the sun. You're maybe being outside for an hour or two a day.
Yeah.
That is going to result in so much depression as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We were interviewing Quadzilla earlier this year, and he said exactly that. And he said, if you're not taking care of your body when you get off trail, like you're not going to be mentally there at all. Yeah, so I think that's another reason why it probably feels a little bit more depressing or life feels a little bit more mundane when you go home. It's because you're just out of it mentally and physically.
Little shameless plug here. Quadzilla is still doing his calendar year triple crown. He's in Colorado going through snowstorms. So if you're not following his journey, like the dude's a badass. Go check it out.
We'll drop his Instagram handle also in the description.
Yeah,
he's a weirdo. He's awesome.
Love that guy.
Yeah, love that guy. He's so, so cool. And his pictures are absolutely stunning. So if you love photography, check out his profile.
Mm-hmm. If you love watching people crush watermelons with their thighs, also go check him out because he can do that.
Is that sexy?
It's terrifying and sexy at the same time. I would say I don't know if it's, I'm scared that like he could probably crush my head with his thighs. Like, or am I like attracted to that? I don't know.
Well, okay. But from a straight male's perspective, like I find mad jealousy from it. Like mm-hmm. my little tiny spaghetti thighs can't do that. But like, from a girl's perspective, like, is that like, wow, this is so hot. He's so hot.
I mean, yeah. Like if you're into muscles, absolutely. Like the dude's jacked. Like you look at him and you're just like, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. He's right in the sweet spot. Girls want him and guys want to be him. So he's doing it. He's got it all going for him.
We love plugging Jack Jones right now. We're like,
hey, quad.
We're tooting his horn. All right. So I guess then that bleeds into the next thing, which isn't so much more about like why people feel the way they do post trail, but from our perspectives, we were honestly getting pretty burnt out of through hiking halfway through the PCT, and honestly, like for probably about the last 30 to 40% of the hike, we were pretty done with it, like, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Can you, like, talk about that for a little bit? Just, like, what was our experience? Tell that story.
Yeah. Okay. So, the PCT is broken up into five sections, if you don't know what it is. It's the desert in Southern California, the Sierras, and then it's Northern California, and then the state of Oregon and the state of Washington. And those are the five sections. We were able to do four of the sections this year because by the time we got to Oregon, the thing just went up in flames. And we probably could have gone through it, but at the time it was just, there were so many uncertainties and we thought skipping it was our best bet. But anyways,
flash forward to the end of our hike. I just got to say, like, I'm really thankful that we made the decision to skip up, or wouldn't have been able to touch the Northern Terminus because of the wildfires.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So we did Southern California and loved the desert. Yeah. We did the Sierras and we loved the Sierras. We got to NorCal and we honestly, I really liked NorCal too.
California is beautiful.
The issue with it is right before we started NorCal, Molly and I came down with severe COVID and we were like disabled in Lake Tahoe for over a week.
Yeah.
And so we were already going slower than usual on this hike, that or slower than we wanted to go. And then we lost an entire week. And so we were like, well, I guess we got to run through NorCal. Which we did. Yeah. We were able to, I think, average a marathon a day every single day, including our days off.
Yeah. We banged through.
So NorCal was beautiful, but we didn't, like, we were pretty burnt out by the time we got to Oregon because it was 100 degrees every day. And we were just sprinting through like fire burned hills and just heat. And so probably halfway through NorCal, I think when we got through like maybe Lassen National Park, which is completely burnt down on the PCT. So don't go to Lassen on the PCT if you want something pretty. But we got there and I was really starting to feel the fatigue of the through hike.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just snowballed into a lot of different things. Personally, for me, like, I had nothing to prove on this trail. I feel like when we did the Appalachian Trail, there were family and friends that like kind of doubted that, like, you're going to do that. And I think in the back of my head, I was like, yeah, I'm a badass. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. My family took bets as to when I was getting off trail to not finish the AT. So
who lost?
Mom.
Oh, mom lost?
Oh no, they all lost. None of them. I don't think any of them thought I was going to finish.
Got to bet real money next time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And now we are going to talk about our sponsors. I was going to go full into like sports betting at this point. But well, anyways, so we got through NorCal. We had to skip Oregon, which if you are spending 3 months in California just getting to Oregon and then you have to skip the state, that's so mentally defeating.
Yeah.
But we got to the border of Oregon and Washington once we skipped up and we felt so lost. We were like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like it's between the fatigue and just not feeling like we deserved to be in Washington at that moment. Like it just wasn't a fun time and we were wasting a lot of money. As you know, the West Coast is really expensive. And we're in a recession right now, so everything is inflated like crazy. We felt like we were wasting time and energy and money, and it just wasn't the right mindset to be in on a through hike. And so we got through Washington. Luckily, that state is drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
And in the moments that we wanted to quit, like a beautiful view came around the corner, and we were like, never mind, we're going to finish this. But I guess, long story short, this is bleeding into the next topic, which is, for us, I'm pretty burnt out of through hiking at the moment. Like,
yeah.
I guess I do plan on doing more through hikes in the future, whether that be big 6-month ones or a tiny little 2-week one. I'm not sure I'm going to do that in the next year, the next 2 years. Like, I'm not sure I have like a big plan to do another through hike there. And that bleeds into my question, which is like, what do you do after trail life isn't enough? And
that's like such an existential crisis for a through hiker.
Yeah.
Like, cause you really do, you go down that rabbit hole and you're like, this is amazing. This is my life. I'm going to do this all the time. And then you get burnt out of it and you're like, well, I abandoned all my other hobbies. What my whole personality has turned into through hiking. Like, what do I do? And so then it's like this weird, like, identity crisis. Like, you're like, who am I anymore? What do I do? And that can be really hard to deal with. And I wonder if through hikers feel that and then just resort back to doing another trail, or if they kind of go through and be like, no, like, I need to look at other options and other things that I want to do. Yeah.
How have you thought about like transitioning your life post trail? Since right in this current moment, like through hiking just isn't it anymore.
Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. Like, I definitely have shed tears over what to do now. And there's been a lot of thoughts and there's been a lot of avoiding having that conversation with myself or with you. Like, yeah. You know, it's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. Like, everyone processes things in a different way and at different speeds. But what has been really good, at least for me, I'm going to talk about it from like the job perspective, is so Dan and I both graduated, you know, with music education degrees. Music education and hiking don't really have a lot in common. None. And after doing these two trails, like, I really have begun to understand that I love to be outside. I love to be interacting with people. And I want to be doing a career that gets to do both of those. Mm-hmm. Education gets one of them, but it doesn't get both. And so for us right now, like, we're pursuing jobs in the outdoor community, which is, you know, a scary jump. It's not what you went to school for. It's going to be a little bit harder. You're going to have to budget more, but it's worth it in the long run, I think, if it's going to make you happy and could potentially lead to something. So that's one thing that we've been focusing on and I've been focusing on, is how can I pivot my life so that normal life reflects the things I loved about trail life? And I think that's, like, at least for me personally, that's really key to moving on. And not moving on completely, you know, like, I will triple crown in my life. Like, I 100% plan on doing that. But in this phase of my life right now, it's time to take a step back and see what else the horizon holds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's great. That was beautifully said.
Thank you. I'll accept my applause now.
All right.
Cue applause. A little too long.
Do you want me to do like laughing? I can do that.
No. Long.
That also went way too long.
What about you? What have been the thoughts in these, especially in these past 2 months, or maybe like comparing Appalachian Trail post trail to PCT post trail, like, what has gone through your mind?
The biggest wake up call for me, going home with this one, I really cut my heart off from a lot of the people that weren't able to understand the experience that I had on trail. They just didn't get it, quote unquote. They just are just normal folk that just don't know anything about my amazing experience, like that narcissistic attitude.
Yeah.
And an easy way to, I think, maybe find yourself back in normal life and maybe moving on from this phase currently, has been reopening my heart to those people that have been a part of my life for years before I became a through hiker. And maybe thinking about that, I mean, they can offer something. And instead of just being like, well, they just don't understand my time that I climbed over the Grayson Highlands and saw all the ponies. So really, like, fostering those friendships and relationships back at home. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have many, like, just I hope you at least have maybe one or two people that aren't thru hikers that you communicate with weekly or monthly or something. And really like reconnecting with them. And also I think, I don't know if you just said it, you might have not said it, but just like finding passions before you were a thru hiker. Like, what did you like before thru hiking? Before like that took over your entire personality? Like, what were you into? Did you like exercising that wasn't hiking? Like, did you have a sport that you're into? Are you musically inclined? Do you like to play music? Do you like to do art? Do you like to, I don't know, go out and volunteer? Like, what used to make you really happy? Try those things. It's scary. You probably haven't done it in a year or two because all you've been focusing on is the next hike, but get back into it. It's probably where you're going to find fulfillment. And I guess that's what I'm trying to search for right now. It's like, what are the things that I can reincorporate back into my life that made me happy before the thru-hiking community?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's that. And I think just being able to recognize when you're done. Like, why am I going back out to trail? Like, And if next year we were like CDT 2023, why?
Yeah.
What's your why? You don't need to have this prolific, like, amazing mission statement of I'm going out to the CDT to inspire. But like, why are you out there? Is it because you're chasing that triple crown? And is that a good enough reason to actually go out there?
Are you avoiding normal life?
Yeah, right. And I mean, to each their own, but like, eventually you're going to have to face this idea, and might be better sooner than later if you are not fully happy with trail life.
Yeah. I think about that with us doing the PCT, because at least I remember us having conversations after the AT about wanting to do it. And I think I was a little more gung-ho right off the bat than you were. And then once you decided you wanted to, I feel like your obsession overtook my obsession of it. So we kind of like flip-flopped, and I wonder, like, was it, like, I obviously really wanted to do the PCT, but sometimes I think, like, why did I get so disheartened and not want to do it towards the end of it? And was that because I was in it for the wrong reasons? Like, was I out there? Did I not give myself enough time to process the first trail? Was I running away from facing my responsibilities of needing to get a job and like make money for myself? Like, those thoughts come through my head, and I don't even know. I'm still trying to process and figure that out.
For me, I think it was the reason I wanted to do this trail, the PCT, is because when we were on the AT, we did it during COVID. We did it in 2020. And so we had a very interesting year. There was no one out there. There was maybe a bubble of 30 of us the entire season, like the northbound season. And so you hear all these crazy, fun, exciting stories of these trails that are more crowded. And we didn't get that experience on the AT. And so I think I was very pulled into that PCT experience of like, this is the year that I'm going to meet thousands of people.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted that at the time. But also the borders reopened. So it was internationals that were going to the PCT, and that's a super popular like destination trail to do for Europeans and just the hiking community around the world. And so after living in South Korea, I thought that was another great like opportunity. Yeah. I was like, I loved meeting people from different cultures, and this is the melting pot now. On top of, I get to hike it. So there was that huge pull. And the last but not least, it's like when you're on the AT, everyone talks about the PCT like it's this like stroll in the park, easy trail, and it's sunny every day, which it pretty much is. And it's this flat, easy trail with these beautiful 14,000 foot peaks that you get to look at all day. And I think there was just a lot of like dreaming to do that trail.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think I got burnt out of the PCT because a lot of reasons. Number one, it wasn't as challenging as the AT. And I didn't realize in that first experience, I loved the Appalachian Trail because of like embracing the suck, like really like working for the views, working every single day, like having my knees feel like they were going to be shattered at any moment. I didn't love the injured side of it, but I loved feeling that adrenaline rush. And I don't think I got that same adrenaline rush through physical activity on the PCT. And that had my mind bored a lot of the time. And again, I was chasing a high. The same high that I was trying to get, or I was chasing the AT high on the PCT. And that's never a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that comes into the, like the idea of like, you do need time to process. Like you were saying earlier, like your PCT experience does not end because you're done with the walking of the trail. Like going back into normal life and processing everything is really important. And if you don't give yourself the time or allow yourself to process it, like that's rough.
Yeah.
You need that time.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Yeah, that's, I think it's really important. I think that was the beauty of us starting the Trail Talks podcast as well. I felt like it really allowed me to process the Appalachian Trail more because for so long we weren't talking about it. Maybe we were reminiscing about things, but that podcast was really great. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun. But it just like, you know, it allows you to reflect a little bit more.
Yeah. And that bleeds into our last topic of discussion, which is like, how can you have a healthier relationship with post-trail life? I guess, what are some healthy habits to incorporate into post-trail that'll help you process and cope with not being on trail anymore? And also, we talked about it yesterday. I don't know if we came up with any ideas, but like, how can we have a healthier relationship while on trail, so that when we get off trail, it's not such a crash collision of just like depression.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's choose one first. Let's start with the harder topic, I think. Like, is there anything you can do while on a trail that will make life after trail easier?
I'm going to speak on my behalf. I am a male that lost a lot of weight on trail, just like most men on trail do. And my metabolism spiked. And I think everyone's metabolism spikes like crazy. And what happens there is I think people tend to pick up different drug addictions on trail, whether that be a caffeine addiction, because caffeine is a drug, or an alcohol addiction, or a marijuana addiction. Just like whatever you resort to at the end of the day or in the beginning of the day to help you get through that day, since your metabolism is going so quickly, you tend to build a tolerance to caffeine or you build a tolerance to alcohol. And so you're drinking or you're smoking a lot heavier at the end of the trail than you did at the beginning. I'm not sure if there's a way to avoid that, but I think at least being aware of your intake of whatever habit you're getting into and understanding that when you get off trail, like that might be an issue and you might want to address that.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I think you can incorporate on trail is just like staying in check with yourself, like checking in with like, okay, maybe I'm doing too much or okay, maybe I should pull off or maybe I should just, you know, the experience is more important than whatever partying or whatever indulging I'm doing.
Just, you know, it's like the first step to recovery is acceptance, right? Like you gotta be able to recognize things about yourself that you need to. Like I think that's a part of like being responsible for yourself. I'm not saying not to let loose, go wild and have a good time. Like absolutely there are moments where you want to do that and like you can. It's your life, hike your own hike, do whatever you want while you're out there. But yeah, I think that was a big thing for me with food, was a huge thing that I noticed, especially on the AT, because that, you know, it's the first experience that you're doing. And I really craved a lot of foods whenever I would come into town. And so, you know, we would binge eat like huge, copious amounts of food, especially because that trail was so hard. You're burning so much, like you're starving. And so town was the only time you could kind of bulk up to get through the next stretch. And so then I took that habit back into my own life off trail. And that's not healthy.
Not at all.
Yeah. No, you can't eat in the same manner or in the same like habits that you did. And so that was a really hard struggle that I didn't even think about. Mm. I know that was on my mind going into this trail, was like, okay, how can I have a healthier relationship with food on trail so that getting off could make that easier? Mm. So I for myself personally, that was a huge thing.
There's another thing that I've thought of, and hikers, I don't even think it's majority, but there is a small percentage of hikers that tend to demonize trail towns or just like towns in general.
Yeah. Real life muggles.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, everyone has their own personality, and I guess I'm not judging you, but I guess I am judging you. But you're going to have to reintegrate back into that like dirty muggle world. Like the woods are not your home forever. I mean, I guess they could be, but like if you want to have a healthy relationship with the 21st century, like you need to integrate back into society. And so if you're going into every trail town just saying how awful it is or being disrespectful to that town, like, you're not going to have a healthy relationship once you get to the northern terminus or the southern terminus. You're with life in general. And so I think really understanding that the big trails like the PCT, the AT, the CDT, it's not just about the nature. It's also about the towns you're going through. And to really soak up that entire experience, not just pick and choose what experience it is. I think is important. Maybe I'm preaching, but I feel like it is important.
Shark Boy giving us the cold hard facts, regardless of whether we want to hear him or not.
Shark Man.
You're Shark Man, not Shark Dude.
Hey, there were about 5 whole people on the PCT that called me Shark Dude for like a week. And then I heard them say it, and I think I heard a German say it to me in like a very Shock. German Shark Dude. And I was like, that's not it. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, for reference for anybody who's confused, our trail names were Shark Boy and Lava Girl. I guess we probably should have said that earlier.
And who are you? Which one are you?
I am Shark Dude.
Yeah, and I'm Lava Girf.
Yeah, I think that's really, in all seriousness, yeah, like the people in regular life, You shouldn't demonize them. They're nice. You know, the thru hiking community is all about like accepting everybody from any walk of life, because you cast everything aside and you're just you. And that's wonderful. And we'll love you for who you are no matter what, unless you're a murderer. But like, that's really important. And so to have that mentality when you're on trail and then not to extend that back into life, getting off trail, like it seems almost hypocritical.
Yeah, 100%. It's very angsty.
Well, you know us through hikers.
We're angsty.
It's not a phase, Mom.
And then, so I guess post-trail life, is there any healthy habits? I talked about that if you're not drinking enough water and if you're not getting enough sunlight, I think those are really healthy habits to incorporate. Like when you get home, even if it's hard, get outside for an hour or two a day at least and drink a butt ton of water. And just like your body is going to be going through it. Maybe slowly find a way to incorporate healthy eating habits or healthier eating habits. But is there anything else aside from the physical standpoint of how you can have a healthier relationship with post-trail life?
Absolutely. I think it's really important to stay connected with the community because like there are so many solo through hikers, like you can't isolate yourself after doing something like this. You need to have people to talk to or something that you can do. Like I know Odie, the guy that runs the hiker yearbook, congratulations on your marriage. He was running post-trail depression, like, mass Zoom meetings last year for thru-hikers during the 2020 AT season. And I think that's really admirable and something that needs to be happening. You need to connect with people. And if it's not something as grand as that, I'm sure you have the Instagram of somebody you hiked with for a couple days. Like, reach out to them and be like, hey, do you remember this? Or, like, can we talk about trail? It's really important. Like, Dan and I talk to our tramily probably a couple times a month. We're talking to them about trail life or just in general, because you need to be able to talk to people that understand what you went through, because it is hard for people to relate. I'm not saying you can't talk to your friends and family that didn't through hike, but it's nice to have people that have undergone the same kind of experience.
That bleeds into another idea. Mm-hmm. At the same time, talk to family and friends, but don't act like they care.
Because they don't.
They don't care. And I think that's the disconnect. It's like,
yeah,
you have a million and a half stories about the time you ate like 38 Pop-Tarts and you ran 50 miles, but no one cares. And it's not supposed to be this harsh thing. It's just like, those are your memories. And to try to like throw all of your memories on someone else. Like, mm-hmm. When was the last time someone told you a 10-minute story and you paid attention to all 10 minutes?
What are you trying to say?
Oh, I mean, I pay attention to every single thing you say and do all the time.
Thank you. I love you.
What did you just say? What did you say? But yeah, I think just going in with the mindset, like, talk to people and really like process your feelings and your ideas out with them. But at the same time, like, don't bombard them, especially if they've never hiked a trail. Don't bombard them. And don't act like they care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think something else, like you were saying it before, get outside, like go on a hike.
Yeah.
Experience what it's like to hike when you don't have to hike 20 miles a day. You don't have to carry that backpack. And like, that is a really wonderful way to connect with friends and family as well. Like, bring them. Because I think something that's really hard, and we always talk about this, is hiking has now become such an aggressive activity that we do. Like, when we go hiking, like, we are speed hiking compared to the person. And so being able to go with somebody that did not do it basically as their career for 6 months is really eye-opening, because it makes you take in little moments way more. Like, I've gone on a couple hikes with my best friend, and the way that she looks at nature is so different than what I do, and it's beautiful, and it allows you to like take a step back and realize how wonderful just your average day hike can be.
Yes.
And that I think is important, since we get into the mindset of like, oh, it's not the top of Mount Whitney, so I don't care about this forest hike.
Of course. Yeah. That's really well said.
Thank you
Allegra for giving Molly perspective.
Thank you, Allegra, for throwing leaves up in the air with me, because I need it.
Adorable. Do we have anything else to say? I mean, we're already an hour and 10 in. Like,
yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else with this topic. Again, like we said it, we've been saying it, you know, these are just our thoughts. You know, everyone processes a trail differently. Everyone needs something different when they get off trail. And that's the beauty of it. You know, it's just life and we're just experiencing it. And so don't be mad if you disagree with what we say.
Yeah,
I hope you agree, and I hope you tell us how you feel. I want to hear from that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Drop it down in the comments. Whatever topic that you maybe agree with or absolutely disagree with, let us know.
And yeah.
Yeah, we would love to like go deeper into some of these topics if there's more to talk about. But that felt really good. That felt really, really good. I liked being able to talk about it more from, I don't know, it just was a different perspective, and I really enjoyed that.
It's very cathartic. Like, I definitely needed this.
Absolutely.
It's like therapy in its own way.
Well, I guess let's go into our closing thoughts. But what I was going to say is, if you've made it this far into the podcast and you're watching it on YouTube, here's a little gift for you. Yesterday, Molly and I went out to Jersey City and we partied it up for Halloween, since we said tomorrow's Halloween. And this is going to be posted way past Halloween. So I hope you all had a very happy Halloween. But guess who we dressed up as? There it is.
Jan and I have been talking about going as Guy Fieri for years now. Ever since leaving college, basically, I've really wanted to do this costume. And Guy Fieri was a staple of our through hikes. Every motel you were in had a cable TV. Like, we were watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Like, he was our hype man for getting out on that next town or getting to the next town.
He was always sending us to Flavortown, dude.
Yeah, every time we got into town, Guy was there for us.
But do we want to just talk about like where we're going with this podcast, or did we say that in the beginning?
We kind of did. If you want to restate it, like, we're going to try and do 2 episodes a week. One that's like a heavy hitting deep dive into some topic. Maybe we want to have some guests on and talk about other aspects of trail life. And yeah, if there's anything you guys want to hear us talk about more, like, please let us know. Like, we're here to serve you. No.
But the reason that we're not just calling it Trail Talks anymore is because we do want to do that second episode a week.
Yeah.
And that second episode, I think we want to both, it's going to be like a little newsy, a little like dumb, a little, I don't know. But we're going to both be maybe pulling articles from like current articles from the outdoor industry and talking about it. Whether that's like, I don't know, whether that's gear or destinations or something related to the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And just kind of being silly with it and giving you like up-to-date information on the outdoor world.
Yeah, so if this was a little too much for you, don't worry. There's going to be a way more lighthearted episode coming.
Absolutely. Let's... All of our social medias will be down in the description below. And if you feel so inclined to follow us on Instagram or on YouTube, or I don't honestly know where you're going to find this podcast, maybe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us. I don't know how often we're going to be posting on Let's Trek Together. Whatever this project is, we just kind of started it. And we hope that you guys stick around for more of it. Because we're really excited with the new topics that we're going to be talking about and the people we're going to be having on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any last words?
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to us. letstrektogether@gmail.com. You can email us with anything. And if you want to send us a funny meme, we will love you forever.
Yes. And always remember... Hike your own hike and be kind to the muggles.
Yeah. And hiking sucks, right?
And hiking sucks. Yeah. High five. All right.
Well, then we will see you later. We're going to sign off and we'll see you in the next episode.
Deuces.
Peace.